Hello and welcome to Kat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. I've been waiting for a more of an upbeat day, and it's not really fully happening. I might have moments, or the day starts out upbeat or positive, and then throughout the day, certain things happen. Your mood is very fragile, especially when change happens, unpredictable things. And that's how I'm feeling right now. One day is good and maybe 6 days aren't. It's very unpredictable. In between those days, there'll be a whole range of emotions. And today started out pretty good. You know, I woke up early, the usual, 4:30, and tomorrow is 4th of July, a holiday which hit me harder. I hate being alone on holidays. I really do. My whole career of working in the industry has been alone on holidays or, you know, celebrating with my team wherever I'm working, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but then again, I'm working. You know what I mean? And then last year was pretty much one of the first years that I wasn't working on July 4th. And that's the memory I have, because that's when my ex-husband and I went to the waterfront to see the fireworks. And I was thinking, oh, now I'm married and we can do this like every year and see the fireworks. Yeah, that was our first and last time. So yeah, today was a bit sensitive, being a holiday tomorrow. And maybe it's better that I'm working tomorrow, but I have to get up even earlier because there's a parade going through Coronado Island, and the hotel is pretty much right in the center of it. So people are saying, leave your car there today, Uber home, Uber to work, just so you have a parking spot. And I'm like, not gonna do that. It's like, I don't live that close, and I don't feel like spending close to $80 or something for there and back. But I will have to get up earlier tomorrow just to find a parking spot. But the most bizarre thing happened today. Let me tell you about it. I've been thinking, you know, a lot of these changes and moments, I get excited because it's something new, right? New things are always exciting, but also nerve-wracking, and especially when they're put on you, you know? It's like you didn't decide this. When you decide to change something in your life, it's because you've worked yourself up to it, and you've prepared yourself, and you've mentally gotten to that point gradually. And it's not that bad, you know? It doesn't have to be this crazy, scary thing. So yes, I could stay in San Diego. I could continue working at the hotel, and I'd have to get another job because on my own, I cannot afford any kind of rent that's around here on what I make, unless I have roommates, which that's not happening, right? I'm not going back to that. I'm not back in my 20s. But when you're put in that situation, it's a jolt. You know, you're made to think about these things. I'm thinking, if I have to move anyway, why not move where I've been thinking about moving before I moved here? You know, and that happens to be LA. I'm not saying it's the best city around, but I feel like there might be more opportunity. And just to do the things that I want to try again. And why not? Why not? I've been looking, and apartment-wise, there are a lot of options, but everything starts out at like $2,000. My first thought is, okay, I'll get a job and then decide where I'm going to live, because it's such a huge city and spread out that I don't want to drive 2 hours each way every day and afternoon. So I did have a job interview yesterday, and it went pretty well. I would have to come in and stage. It's It's like the home base bakery for three different locations in LA for pastry, high-end pastry. Everything is made in-house. Macarons, viennoiserie, chocolate, cakes. There's all these different stations. I would be a manager. There's a staff of 30 pastry cooks, and basically I make sure everything gets done, and then I have to jump in, you know, wherever I need to. The usual. It is an hourly situation, and then when another manager thinks you've mastered, let's say, viennoiserie, then you get $2 more. It's not bad. And you get hourly, so it's not a salary situation. So your shift is 8 hours. And if you stay longer, you get paid more, you know? So that's kind of positive. That's pretty positive. And I feel the interview went well, so we'll see. I'm going to LA in a couple weeks to see my friend, but also kind of start setting things up, like going to this interview to check the bakery, meeting with a friend of mine who's in casting, things like that, you know, and kind of just start checking things out. So then today I was thinking, okay, like, this is positive, right? If this is meant to be, if this is something that has meant to shift in my world, then it will work out. Because in the way that everything happened, it's almost like, well, maybe my ex is doing me a favor. If he's in a bad place, at least I don't have to watch him be in a bad place and put me in a bad place with it. He left. He didn't even give me a chance to decide what is happening. So, okay, then I get to do my own thing. At first, I viewed it as, okay, this is sad because I wanted to sort through this and be with him because we're married, but he didn't even give me that choice. So maybe he's doing me a favor. He's distanced himself, and I get to, for the first time in my life, really do something for me. And I was thinking about that. You know, last time I was talking about when I was in Palm Springs and revisiting that, pretty every move that I've made has been because of a family member or a relationship. When I moved to Palm Springs, it was for my own independence. But my mom wanted me to stay in Arizona, and I felt so guilty moving. You know, there was always this guilt. Yes, I was in Palm Springs, and I was independent for the pretty first time, really. But I knew that my mom didn't want me to be there, so I had this guilt. So eventually, I did end up moving back. And then when I moved to Switzerland, again, it was for my own independence, but again, my mom didn't want me to go. As much as I don't regret doing that, I'm happy. I'm so happy I did that, and it was the right thing for me. I still felt guilty, you know, and as much as I love my mom, it was this struggle just for me, you know, because she always wanted me close, but I wanted to live life and just do the things that I envisioned, you know, or wanted these adventures. But there was always this guilt, you know. And then when I moved to New York from Switzerland, it was for the company. And it's not necessarily that I wanted to be there, but I had this job, you know, they offered it to me. And it was after and during COVID. So I thought, okay, I'm probably not going to get a lot of choices, so I'm going to do this. And then when I moved to Aspen, I moved there because I didn't want to move to Switzerland and I was in a relationship. I pretty much moved there because I thought that would be a great place for both of us. And then when I moved to San Diego, that was pretty much because of this relationship. You know, yes, I wanted to be in California, but I never thought I would move to San Diego. And as much as I do love it here, it's beautiful. I mean, it's one of the top places in the U.S. for people to move. but everything that I have attempted, and I have attempted a lot in this 1 year, and it's been overwhelming, it hasn't really like taken off, you know? And what's even harder is I moved here for this relationship, and just settling in took at least 6 months, you know? So when you move for somebody, you still have to figure out your role in that, your life in that, and what are you gonna do, you know? And just settling in takes half a year. So I feel like leaving after a year is very unfair. It's like, you didn't even give it a chance. Not really. But then again, if it wasn't going to work out anyway, maybe it's better to leave after a year and instead of sticking with it, if it's not great for another 5 years, or, you know, it's like, because then are you wasting your time at that point? I don't know. All I know is I have less life to live than I have lived. I mean, yes, we can say that about all of our lives, right? Like, we don't know when we're gonna die. But all I know is I'm probably not going to live another 46 years, right? I mean, I could. I'm not saying this isn't possible, but most likely not. So the choices I make, I gotta make them. I don't have time for fucking bullshit. Excuse my language, but that is the truth. And today I realized this is the first time I'm actually moving for me. There's nobody that I'm trying to please except for myself. And that is a huge realization. And I invited a friend to come visit me. You know, I'm planning on moving the end of August. I don't know if that will happen, but this is what I'm visualizing, putting into place. And I invited a friend to come visit me because, yes, I know I have this collecting thing, right? I have a lot of things. And everything means something. Everything holds a memory, or I think I'm going to need this later. So I've invited a friend to stay with me, to help me, and to talk me through my things, my stuff. You know I don't need everything, but I can't do it by myself. Through the relationship with my husband, you know, since we are each other's mirrors, I mean, that's the fastest way you get to know yourself is when you're in a relationship. And everything traces back to childhood, I swear. Through that relationship, I saw, okay, the way I collect things, the way I hold on to things, it's too much. I know this, I saw this, you know, and I'm trying to better myself. Like, not for anybody, just for myself. Because apparently, if I continue moving the way I am, then I can't have all these things, you know? And honestly, most of these things are culinary. I have culinary cookbooks. I have all these baking pans and all these cake pans and chocolate molds. I mean, you name it. I have it, and these things are expensive. If I had a storefront right now, I could use them all in that, but I don't, you know? So these things take up space. I'm not saying I'm gonna get rid of my kitchen things because I'm still in the business, you know? I'm still making these things, so I'm not doing that. But maybe I don't need every piece of artwork. Maybe I don't need every single picture. Shoes. I went through my shoes yesterday. Like, I'm trying to go through what I can. And it's so hard. Like, this is not easy. And what's even crazier is, you know, not everybody's like this. I realize that. Like, some people are so good at getting rid of things and shedding, and I can't do it. I'm just not built that way. And I don't think that's a bad thing, because it's nice to have memories. It's nice to be sentimental, isn't it? I mean, if everyone's just throwing away all these things, I mean, what's the point of sending a card and being thoughtful if the next day they just throw it in the trash? You know, like, once I dated somebody and I constantly gave him cards. You know, we broke up and he threw them all away. And just the thought of that was like so hurtful to me, because they're not just cards, they're emotions. You know, they're real. These are things that I felt and I decided to write them down for you. Like, that's fucking special. Excuse me, but it is. I think you need people like that in this world. You know, otherwise we wouldn't have artists, we wouldn't have poets. If we're just throwing things away and everything is meaningless, well, what's the point? You don't even need museums then. Nothing is special anymore. But I'm seeing I have a lot of things and I'm trying to shed something. Like last week, I had a day off and I decided to go to the beach a little further up north, maybe like 30 minutes away. It was a really pretty beach. And I went into the water. It was like warm. It was perfect. And I loved it. I mean, yes, I went by myself because that's all I ever fucking do, is do shit by myself. And that's the thing. Even the last 6 months, I've been doing stuff by myself, you know? So if I'm married and I'm doing stuff by myself, well, yeah, what's the point, really? You know, I'm not saying you have to do everything together, but isn't that part of being married and being in a relationship, is to find these special moments to do things together? So anyway, I went to the beach and I got into the car and I drove back home. And on my way home, I'm like, I need to clean this car. And I've never had thoughts about this. I'm not a car person. Like, I just drive a car. And I was thinking, oh my God, I have to clean out this entire car. And I have a lot of things in my car, as far as just, I have beach chairs in the back. I have hiking boots. I have hiking poles. I have a blanket. Like, I have things so that when I'm outdoors, they're just ready. You know, I don't have to plan all these things that I'm going to take with me. They're already there. You know, I just have my car to take me to these places outdoors. But anyway, this thought crossed my mind. I need to clean out my entire car. And I did. I cleaned everything out. I detailed even the tires. Like, I've never done that in my life. I got out all these different sprays. I made everything shiny. I cleaned out just all the dust. And my car was freaking beautiful. It took me hours. It was nice. Like, the next morning, I got into that car and I'm like, wow, this is amazing. So something is happening. You know, I am working through things. And how can these changes not affect me? Of course they do. You know, at least I'm not going in the opposite direction and hiding in some corner. Okay, there are moments where, sure, I want to just be by myself and not talk to anybody. But mostly I'm trying to be proactive. I'm sending out resumes. I'm connecting with people. I'm looking at apartments online. And I'm just trying to make things happen. Because that's what I do, right? That's what I always do. And in the end, I've got myself. I know what I need to do. I'm very goal-oriented. But there's also a certain stress level behind that. And my mind just thinks all these things. I'm like, oh, what if that? What if this? And then I'm like, okay, stop. I just have to know that if this is right, then something will show itself. So yeah, I was like feeling a little off later in the day at work, because everyone's talking about what they're going to do on the holiday, you know, and 4th of July was never a holiday for me coming from Europe. But then you start celebrating the holidays when you live in that country, because first off, I was young, I was a teenager, and then I would get those days off school. So then, of course, my family and I, we would go watch fireworks. You know, in Europe, you watch fireworks for the New Year's, and it's a big deal. But here, more so for 4th of July. So then you start adopting those holidays as your own. Same with Thanksgiving. And now I've lived here for over 30 years, and these are holidays. So yeah, I was feeling a bit down because everybody's talking about grilling and barbecuing and just spending time together and watching fireworks. And then I thought of last year. And then I thought, well, this year, okay, it's just me. Maybe I will go on a evening hike up a hill and watch fireworks. I don't know. I feel like I should do something. But I didn't realize how much it affected me. And I went on a break, so you get an hour break, but the stupid thing is you have to break it up into three breaks. So it's 2:15s and 1:30, which is ridiculous, because 15, you sit outside, and then you gotta leave again, you know? But I went outside for 15, and I just wanted to be by myself. You know, I was just sitting on a bench, and I see this lady in the distance. Like, usually when there's other employees, someone else doesn't sit on the bench. You just let that person sit on a bench and you go somewhere else, right? I was sitting on a bench and just wanted to be by myself. And this lady, like, I don't know, I want to say like 50s, late 50s. She walks over to me with urgency and she says, "Can I sit here?" And I'm not going to be like, fuck off, no. Even though that's what I was probably thinking. I said, yeah, sure. So she sits and I was just minding my own business, but she just starts talking and not minding her own business. And she has an accent. It sounded kind of Russian, but it turns out she's from the Ukraine and she just starts telling her life story. And I'm thinking, what the hell? Fine. You know, and then she asks me about myself, how long I've been working here, and I say a year. And then she starts telling her life story, you know, how she moved here, like she's from the Ukraine, and she used to work in Germany. And she loved working in Germany. She worked at all these places. And then she's like, "Where are you from?" And I say, "Germany." And she's like, "Oh, so you know." And then she lists all these different places. And I say, "Well, I kind of know. I've been living here for 30 years, but I grew up in Germany, you know." So she's just talking. And anyway, it turns out, like, she wanted to know details. And I'm thinking, I only just met you. Like, who are you, you know? And she worked in the spa, and she was just an employee, you know, because I saw, like, her name and her uniform at spa. But she was very, very nosy. And I'm not rude, unless, you know, maybe if you put me in that situation, I could be. But she says, what are you doing here? And I say, I'm in pastry. And I say, I moved here a year ago, you know, to be with my husband. And then it takes a very dark turn. And I say, but he just left me. And I couldn't help myself, but I started to cry. And as if she's known me for, like, years, she takes my hand and she puts it on her face. And she's like, "I'm so sorry." And she's like, "Man is bullshit," you know, like with this Ukrainian accent. And I started to laugh, you know, and she's like, "Man is bullshit." She's like, "My husband is bullshit. My daughter's husband is bullshit." She starts talking about these men, you know, and their situations. And she's like, "You are beautiful." She's like, you know, and she starts listing all these, like, positive things. And I'm thinking, this is the weirdest thing. it's like I was feeling off, but then with this urgency, this random person comes over to me, and it's more than just a random person, you know? It's like I felt like she needed to talk to me. I don't know why, I can't explain it, but she said, give me your number, you know, and we started talking, and she said, well, what are you going to do here? And I said, well, I'm going to leave. I'm planning on leaving. And she said, why? She's like, there are good places here, you know, for living. And I said, no. And it's mainly because of the holiday. You know, I'm by myself here. I moved here to be with my husband. He has a circle of friends here. Through him, I got to know his circle of friends. And every holiday, or most, we would all spend together. Even though they were his friends, they kind of became my friends. But now, obviously, right, when you separate, they are no longer my friends. Because friends don't want to be in the middle of these things. You know, they know him, right? They're all Brazilian. They all speak Portuguese together. I was like the odd one out. They all spoke English just because I was there. Anyway, it's these holidays that I really feel it. That I'm like, well, I was working all these jobs and trying to make things happen, trying to find a routine for 6 months. And I didn't have time to have like my own circle of friends. And it's not like I necessarily wanted it. I just wanted to spend time with my husband, you know? So I would focus on that. But then he walks away and I don't know anybody, right? So that's when I realized, wow, that is bullshit. And, you know, I've started to like go out a little bit with people from work just to like hang out. Like we went bowling or we went to a shooting range, which I've never done. And I actually shot pretty well, which I was proud of. But it's in these situations that you realize, wow, I put all this energy into something and now that's gone. And there's this big gap. Anyway, she said, this time next year, you'll be with somebody else. Like that's comforting me now, but okay. Meanwhile, she's like, man, it's bullshit. So, you know. Is it comforting to be with another man? I don't know. But she gave me her number. She said, I told her, you know, I'm planning to move to LA. And she said she knows somebody who works for a culinary school in Malibu. So I said, okay, I will send you my information, you know. And I don't know where this leads, if it leads anywhere. But it was very bizarre. And this only lasted 15 minutes. Because it had to, because we were on break. But for the rest of the day, I had like an hour and a half left of my shift, and I was very out of sorts. You know, like I was emotional. And I guess at work, I'm pretty good at just focusing on work and doing what needs to be done. You know, but this lady like pulled everything out of me. And afterwards, I couldn't just be just about work. You know, I was doing this stuff, but I couldn't help but be upset. And then one of the chefs was making a VIP dessert sushi roll, which was pretty cool. She made this sweet rice with condensed milk. She rolled in slices of mango and cantaloupe and topped it with this dragon fruit, like these sesame seeds. It was all dessert, but it looked really cool. So that kind of got me off of what happened. And she gave me something to try. I'm like, okay, like I made it through the freaking shift. I feel unpredictable right now. My whole life is unpredictable. I believe it will turn out. Like when I had that interview yesterday, I felt positive. And I felt like, okay, like as long as I have a job, everything else will fall into place. You know, because once you have money to pay the apartment, then you can have the apartment. Another friend of mine, she teaches at a culinary school, and I'll probably get a class to teach there, which is great. You know, but as we know with culinary, it's a school. So you have summer breaks, you have winter breaks, you know, and you get paid per hour. So it's not like salary. So again, you know, it's not a full-time thing. So there's no 100% of anything. You just have to make it work. But hell, I've been making it work these last like 15 years in this industry. But what I'm saying is there might be moments that are unpredictable and fearful. But you look at the bigger picture and it's okay. You know, it'll come together. But it's just like holidays are just bad for me because I picture him with all his friends laughing the way they do, drinking, barbecuing, because that's all they do. And I'm like, okay, like, I'm glad he's happy, you know, but I wish I had that circle of friends. And that's why I'm moving, because I don't have that here. And I know people in LA. So if nothing else, I know my friends will invite me. Even if I'm working in the morning, I can still go and hang out with them. And that's comforting. You know, having friends and family in a place, that's all you need. That's comforting. So for my birthday, which was, I want to say about 2.5 weeks ago, I flew to Seattle, which had been planned for a while because I knew that my dad would be there. He's planning to move to Washington. And my brothers both live there. You know, but my dad said, okay, he's going to fly up. So I said, okay, I'll fly up and let's all spend time together. Because the last time we all hung out was when my mom passed. And that's already 3.5 years ago. So this is the first time that we're all together again. And I had booked this flight a couple months in advance. Of course, I booked it for my ex-husband to come with me. And then he didn't, you know, so that sucked, right? Because as I'm checking in, I have a ticket for two. I can only use mine. And, you know, that was just a waste of money. But more importantly, I wanted him to see my family. I wanted him to see Seattle. Like, that was the whole point, too, to spend that time for my birthday and to have him see my family again. But whatever. I mean, shit happens. Things change. Luckily, I'm so glad that I planned that trip. You know, because just a couple weeks prior, he ended it. And I was just so sad that I really needed that time with my family. And so maybe it's like I had some foresight or something, you know? And it was so weird because I said, okay, so you want to come with me, right? You want to come with me? Like I said this a couple months prior. He's like, yes, even though I felt that maybe he didn't, you know? I'm always very pro-traveling, and just the last couple months, I felt like to him it was more of a burden. I don't know, but that's my feeling. Needless to say, he didn't come, and I go to the airport, I check in, I got plenty of time, I go fill my bottle, right? We've got these water bottles. I refill mine. So there's this one station and there's a big line. There's like six people, like a lot. And then this one woman in front of me has four bottles for her whole family. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I roll my eyes. And then she's got kids all around her, right? Like, mommy, mommy. And I'm like, oh my God. And she's filling her bottles like one by one. And of course, this water is flowing very, very slowly. So I'm like, okay, just like breathe. You know, I'm like talking myself down. And turns out, okay, that this woman is a woman I'm sitting in the same row as, right? It's just so funny because I rolled my eyes, I made a thing, like not to her, but just like to myself. But I'm sure it came off. I don't know. And then there you have it. I'm sitting next to this person, you know. So that's what happens. You just have to be patient. You can't roll your eyes, you know, and you never know who you're going to sit next to, because it's probably the person that you either made fun of. So that's what happened. There's a child between us. This child is maybe like 4, like pretty small, maybe 3, 4. I don't know. I don't know how big children are and what age they should be. I've never had a child. I don't know. But I'm guessing around 3 or 4. All right. So the mom is on her left side. I'm by the window. Thank goodness. And I'm looking out the window, clear the whole way. Beautiful. From San Diego to Seattle, I could see everything. Not a cloud in sight. Okay. But as we're flying, this child next to me is just letting it rip, like farting heavily. And I take the air and I like literally just blow it onto the child. You know, I'm like, I do not want to smell this the whole trip. Of course I did. You know, I'm like holding my breath and just trying to focus on the beautiful view. But anyway, so the whole way there's just fart air. And it's right next to me. And then we finally land. And my dad is there. And then I see my older brother. You know, he picked us up. He takes us back to his apartment. And then later on, we meet up with my other brother and his family. Like, I have a niece and nephew and my sister-in-law. And we all went out to dinner. And it was just so nice, you know. So we did that, and then I went to my other brother's house. He lives a bit further out, but he has a guest room, so I stayed with him. I hung out more with my niece and nephew. They're always very shy, but when you stay like a few days or more, they start to like talk more. And then every day we did something. So I stayed with my other brother, and the next morning, my brother drove with me to Seattle, because my oldest brother lives downtown, and he drove with me. We went to a Japanese bakery. So my brother lives downtown on the 9th floor in a high rise, and it faces the Space Needle, which is a landmark of Seattle. So it's pretty prime location, and he has everything around him. Like, there's bakeries, there's Whole Foods, there's all these little stores. So on the day of my birthday, we go to this Japanese bakery, we pick all these pastries, and then we go back to my brother's apartment, and he makes everybody coffee, and we're just sitting there eating all these pastries, trying these different ones, sharing them, and it was perfect. Like, it was so perfect, just sitting with my family, eating pastry on my birthday. And they give me like cards, they put cash in it, which is always helpful, especially these days. You know, and then my oldest brother gives me this cute little, they're like hand knitted, like a potato. Like, someone hand knitted a potato and put a face on it. And then it says, "I'm your positive potato." You know, so my brothers, my family, obviously, I told them what's going on. They don't really understand. I don't really understand. But it's hard for my dad to be like, "Well, I don't understand. Why did that happen?" You know, and I say, "Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know." But the nice thing is they're supportive of me and they were just there with me. You know, and then after pastries, my oldest brother gets a haircut, like right in the middle of the day. Okay, fine. So I go to this observatory with my dad. It's the Columbia Observatory. And it's 75 floors up. So we took this elevator all the way to the top. And you can't go outside. It's all glass. But the view was amazing. And these few days in Seattle, the weather really held up. Normally it like rains. And it did, like the last day when we flew back. But when we were there, the sun was out, like everything was beautiful. It's so green. My brother also showed me his garden. So I have two brothers. One brother lives downtown. The other has his house. And he grows all these different trees. He has fig trees. He has persimmon trees, banana. Like, he's growing everything. The bananas don't actually come to fruition because it's not hot enough. But the leaves are there. And then he has his own movie theater that he built. It was his own project when he moved into the house. So he has a mini movie theater. And we watched a movie together as a family in his movie theater. And it was just nice. We just had time together. And then for dinner, for my birthday, we all went out together for fondue restaurant where we had, first you get a broth and you cook your meat, your chicken, your veggies. You put them in this broth, right? Everything comes raw and then you cook it in there on skewers. And then after that, you get another course and you get your cheese and you dip your bread, your apples in this melted Emmentaler cheese. Delicious. Like, that's the best part. And then if you choose, you can get like a chocolate fondue. But we were full. And then my sister-in-law says, why don't we go to this Taiwanese coconut dessert place, which I have had here in San Diego. Different brand, but the same thing. But then my sister-in-law got hung up about the check, and we went to Melting Pot, right, which is pretty pricey. But I guess in Seattle, they add all these taxes to it from these different parts of the city where you're in. And this was like a new tax. So she asked the server, what is this tax? And then he says, I've never seen this before in my life. Let me go ask the manager. And my sister-in-law is like, what the hell? Like, he's a server and he doesn't even know. You know, so my brother's like making fun of him. He's like, I've never seen this in my life, you know. Very funny. So the manager comes up and he says, he's like, you know, I don't really know what this is for, but I think it's when there's a large party, we put on additional tax. He's like, but I think that's unfair. So let me give you these additional cards for $20 off on your next visit. So my sister-in-law is like, she's like, I'm not saying to get free things. I just didn't know what it was. Anyway, we pay. We're about to leave to go to this Taiwanese coconut place. And then the manager comes out and he's holding somebody else's cell phone. And he's like, I'm going to hand deliver this cell phone to a customer that left it there. And he just walks off. And we're just like, what? Like, this is such a weird manager. Like, hand delivering things. Anyway, so we go to this Taiwanese coconut place. And as we're walking there, my dad is like, I'm so full. He's like, why are we eating more food? And I'm like, well, you know, it's because my sister-in-law wants to eat more. Like, she wants this dessert. And he's like, I'm so full. So we get into this restaurant, this dessert place. It's kind of busy. So what it is, you have this, it's a vegan, like, plant-based coconut dessert. I don't know exactly what's in it, but I actually don't think it's vegan. I think it's made with milk. I don't know. There's definitely dairy and coconut, and it's kind of gel-like, but light. It's very light. And then you can choose what topping you want on it, like either mango, black sesame, cookies and cream. Like, there's all these different toppings. And my dad chooses first, and he gets, I think, mango. So then we all choose, and it takes a second, and we get to our seats. And my dad has already eaten his. Meanwhile, he was the one complaining how full he is already. And he's like, it was so good, I couldn't help myself. And then we all laugh because it was just gone, you know. And then the next day, we just all hung out as a family, and then we ate. We went to a Chinese restaurant. You know, my sister-in-law, she has Chinese roots, so she picked certain dishes, you know, and we had these fresh noodles. Like, it was really good. You know, I love anything, like, noodle-like or Asian. I mean, I feel like you can't go wrong with that. And then I went to my brother's apartment downtown, and he had this virtual reality game, you know, so that was kind of crazy. There was Tetris in VR. And sometimes my brother says he plays for such a long amount of time that he doesn't even realize that it's dark outside and he's playing in the dark. Because when you have this virtual reality thing on, you're in that world. You don't know what's going on in real life, you know? So for him to say, like, that's, like, all he does, I'm like, okay. So then that was it. And then the next day, I flew back, you know, and I'm like, get back to my apartment. And now it's just me, you know? So now I'm sorting through my things. I'm trying to donate things. And it's just bizarre. Like, I feel very out of sorts because when I moved here, you know, my ex-husband was here and we planned this whole kind of world together, you know, and now it's just my stuff, which is a lot, you know, and but yeah, it's just me. And it's very, I don't know, it's just unsettling, you know, when you move somewhere together and then you end up being just you, you have all these memories, even though it was just a year, like, it's still hard, you know. So he got his own apartment, he's in his own space, and even though San Diego is a big city, right, like, it's not as big as LA, but it's, I mean, there's millions of people here, yet I just feel like it's probably better, you know, that I just move away, because right now it's so hard. I mean, obviously, when you have a relationship and it ends, you can't just be moving all the time, even though that's what I've been doing. I don't know. I'm trying to find, like, a connection for what I want, what's best for me. And so I've been doing more pole classes, and it's not just pole. You also have these flirt classes where they teach you how to dance with a chair. So here I am actually weaving through a chair. Like, I didn't know I could fit like that. So I'm doing these dance moves through a chair and I'm like, wow, like, I'm actually doing this pretty well. And then you do all these, like, leg lifts on the chair and it's, like, pretty sexy, you know? So I'm doing that tonight. I have another class tonight. It doesn't start till 8:30. So it's a late one. And then I have to get up tomorrow morning at 4 because I have to leave early to find a parking spot for the 4th of July, which will be crazy at the hotel. And then I don't know what I'm going to do at night, but probably go for a hike. A couple days ago, I went for a hike and it said there was a waterfall. So I'm like, okay, it's probably not a huge waterfall because it's kind of deserty out here, right? So I get there, there's like a little creek and it's very pretty. And then you can hear the water, but it's very small. It's not really a waterfall, but it was still a good 2 hours, you know, that I went there and back. And I just like walking. Walking calms me. It makes me think positively, you know, because I'm being active. I'm not just sitting around eating ice cream or something. Like, I'm walking and I'm being positive. So that's good. And I'm taking care of myself. You know, I'm eating less sweets. I'm juicing. I'm eating better. And I'm losing weight, like losing it in a natural way. And then I realized I did something stupid. Like, my headspace is not 100%. Obviously, like, as I'm talking, you're realizing this, but sometimes I'll just do stupid things, you know, because of everything that's going on. It's like, maybe, I don't know, I'll put something that doesn't need to go in the fridge just because I'm thinking about something else. You know, just stupid things that make no sense right now. So a friend of mine is getting married in Italy. And I swear she told me this certain date. I swear. So I booked the flight right? I booked it pretty much like after my husband left, because I'm like, fine, I'll just do this then. And I booked the flight, like I double checked the dates. I'm like, okay, cool. So I booked it. Yesterday, I'm walking on the trail and I see an email, and it's like an official email of where the wedding is and the hotel and everything. The date that it says on the invitation is not the date that I booked, okay? So I'm like, what the fuck? And this just shows that I don't even know where I got this date from. Like, what is going on? I mean, I booked a flight to Italy on a different date, right? I messaged my friend and I'm like, I don't understand. Your date says this, but I booked this. And she's like, no, this is my wedding date. She's like, I know, it's my wedding. So I'm like, oh my God, I have to change. I have to change the flight. I'm on hold for over an hour with United on international. Like, first I'm on national, but then they can't help me. So I get transferred to international. Takes forever. Turns out I had basic fare. Because I had basic fare, they first have to upgrade me to like regular fare, which costs $300. And then you have to pay the difference. So for me to switch my flight would cost an additional $600-something. So then she's like, it's just cheaper to get another flight. And I'm like, oh my God, what the hell? You know, so my friend's like, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, it's not your fault. Like, it's mine. Like, I have no idea where I got this date from. So I booked a flight to her wedding. I booked a flight to Naples. And a month later, I have another flight to Rome. And I just have to view it as, okay, this is just, I can't be worried about every single freaking dollar. Like, I don't have this money to spend right now, but crap, you know, I made this mistake. I want to go to her wedding. And maybe it's a sign that somehow I'll actually not have to worry about money and I'll get to go to Italy twice in 2 months. I have no idea, but it's probably unlikely. I want to say it's not, because I'm being positive. But with everything going on in the world, like in this country right now, with ICE everywhere, with politics, with wars, I don't know what's happening, but I can't be stressing about a flight to Italy. If anything, it's amazing, right? I don't know, but that's what happened. It's probably one of the craziest things I've done, being unaware, like by accident, you know? I just have to view it as, oh, okay, I just gambled. I just went gambling, or I bought a Coach purse or something and it never actually got it. You know, I just spent this money. So yeah, that's that. I want to leave you with some positive quotes, because when I was flying to Seattle, I downloaded some episodes of Chef's Table, which I love, right? Like, I've talked about this before. And there's four special ones right now. I think it's called Chef's Table Legends, you know? So I downloaded those and I wrote down some really positive phrases that I want to share with you. Just everything that I'm going through, it just felt like, okay, I had to write these down. People hate change until the pain of changing is worse than change itself. Okay, let me say that again. People hate change until the pain of changing is worse than change itself. I think that's pretty amazing, right? People can change, but it usually takes a traumatic event or something in their life, you know, a motivation for somebody to change. And I don't know, it just stayed with me. I watched the show with Jamie Oliver, you know, The Chef's Table, and there was one episode about him. And he said, one small thing can make beautiful things happen. You know, it doesn't have to be big, just one small thing. You know, like we always think about the big picture and making a difference in a big way, but oftentimes it's just one small thing. You know, it's like that lady I met on my break. It was 15 minutes. It was a small thing. But she was so sweet to me, and it changed the rest of my day. Just these interactions you have with people. Something small goes a long way, always. And then there was this episode of Chef's Table with Jose Andres. Life starts at the edge of your comfort zone. And that stuck with me because this is not my comfort zone, right? And I feel scared, but also excited. You know, I'm going like on these waves. And yes, what if this is amazing? What if this is the right thing for me? I mean, it has to be because it's happening. You know, I just have to view it as, yes, like this is an opportunity for me. I have to see it like that. He says, love trumps hate, but you have to work hard for love. And that's true. You know, love is always the most important, but hate is so readily available. I see it right now, you know, with all these immigrants being detained and just all this crazy stuff going on in the country. Like, what is going on? It's so disturbing. You know, it's like nothing seems to be going right, like politically or whatever, you know, but he said, you have to work hard for love. And that is true. In anything, anything that you love, it's work. You have to keep showing that you care. You know, with your job, just the things you love, your pets, you know, anything that's important to you, the things that you love, keep at it. He said it takes years and decades of love to create something amazing for future generations, but it takes very little hate to destroy something amazing. You can do magical things with nothing if you give it the love it deserves. Like, how true is that, right? I feel like I'm not even going to add to that because it's so true. And then he was talking, Jose Andres, I'll try to say it the right way. He was talking about he loved making the fire, like with his dad, like growing up. You know, he would make the fire to roast the meat. But then he wanted to make the meat. And his dad said, no, you have to first know the fire. You know, and then he said the fire is the most important part, because if you don't have the fire, then you can't cook the meat, you know. But his father said it in a bigger scale, like about his life. And he said, making the fire, controlling the fire, mastering the fire is the most important thing you can do with your life. You know, so it's like this fire within yourself, these urges. We have to control that, right? You have to create your life. You have to control it. And then you have to master it in any area of your life. And that's the most important thing that you can do with your life. You know, don't let this anger take over or whatever other fire you might think of within yourself. If you give people the spark of possibilities, that spark becomes a big flame of hope. I mean, I'm just like saying random things here because they stuck with me. He says, there is always something beyond the horizon. And that's what I'm feeling now, right? There's something there. There's something. I can't see it. I can't see it. But I know it's there. And I have to trust that. And I just have to keep looking forward. That's all we can ever do, is keep going forward and just trust that there's something beyond that horizon that is better for us, that is meant for us, that we can thrive and we can help others create, right? There's always something. There's always the next thing. Never stop looking beyond the horizon. He says, now is the moment to push for change, right? Because he was talking about, he's doing all this global food stuff and helping others. But he's always saying, now is the moment. The moment is now. It's not tomorrow. It's not next week. Whatever you need to do, do it now. That's it. That's my positivity. Well, now I have to go to pole class. And I'll catch up with you next time. Thank you for listening. I'm Chef KB.